At The Rock, I'm learning the Bible and how it applies to my life.
At The Rock, I found God's purpose for my life.
At The Rock, our family's growing spiritually.
At The Rock, I have a great community of friends.
The Rock is not just another church, it's a kingdom experience. Join us for a life-transforming worship experience at any of our three campuses. We can't wait to worship God with you. Visit us at therockwoi.com to learn more. That's therockwoi.com. Coming up next on The Kingdom Voice.
Not only does he continue to intercede, listen, not only does he consider to intercede, the text says he lives to make intercession and can save to the utmost. That means there ain't nothing that you can get yourself into that he cannot get you out of. And you ain't got to worry about it, because he's not going to quit on the job. You don't have to worry about it, because he lives to intercede.
The following message by Apostle Dr. Dana Carson is made possible by DCKM Partners, assisting people to know God, making him known to others, and spreading the kingdom message around the world. Check out our website, drdanacarson.org, where you can hear much more from The Kingdom Voice.
And this gospel of the kingdom shall be spread across the world.
DCKM, Dana Carson Kingdom Ministries.
Jesus is the model of intercession, and the Bible calls Jesus the great intercessor or mediator. His intercession is great because it extends beyond the borders of creation and answers one of the greatest questions ever asked. Who can save me from me? Learn how Jesus can be your personal intercessor in today's message, Jesus, the Model and Great Intercessor, coming from Hebrews chapter 7, verses 20 through 25.
Jesus' entire ministry was about standing in the gap. Jesus was the great intercessor. The Bible speaks of his humanity. The Bible speaks, of his ministry based upon intercession. Standing in the gap, building a wall. Jesus stood in the gap and is standing in the gap and will stand in the gap. Jesus stood in the gap. He's standing in the gap. And he will stand in the gap. Paul states it like this. Now all things are of God who has, in 2 Corinthians 5 and 18, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. That's intercession. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's intercession. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That's intercession. Not imputing their trespasses to them and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. That's intercession. The work of Jesus and those who are saved is the work of intercession. Intercession is the lifestyle of the saved because people are hurting and lost in a never-ending cycle of repetition of behavior and outcome. from one situation right into a similar and to another situation. Why? Because they don't have the content on the inside of them to make different choices. So when they, once they sober up from the consequence of the last scenario, then they go and have to make choices all over again. But they still only have the same content. So they don't have the ability to choose different. So all they do is take a break between trauma. He has taken away the power of the domination of sin and has given me the power over sin through the Spirit. Thus our text. Our text is a very powerful text found in the book of Hebrews, a book of disputed authorship. Many have attributed the book to Paul based upon his other 13 canonical writings or letters. While this general epistle is written primarily to Jewish believers who have a deep and rich appreciation for the historical context of the writings in the book, which are Jewish, it would be very difficult for a Gentile to comprehend. Paul is the apostle to the Gentile, but he was also a Pharisee and believed to be part of the Sanhedrin, which more qualifies him to write even to the Jewish, a Jewish audience as well as a Gentile audience. Some believe that it's not a Pauline's writing because it doesn't bear the marks of Paul's writing styles. For normally Paul writes Christ Jesus in his epistles, which he uses over 90 times, but it doesn't appear here in Hebrews. Some attribute it to the students of Paul. And Martin Luther suggests that the author is Apollos. While this debate continues to exist, one thing we know for sure is that the Holy Spirit inspired the writing, and it was included in the canonization process, and it was considered inspired by God. The book was thought to have been written between 40 and 60 AD. The book was written to a Jewish Christian audience who were former adherents of one of the branches of traditional Judaism who accepted Jesus as the promised Messiah and became his followers. The author writes about the superiority of Christ. He was superior to the prophets. He was superior to the angels. He was superior to Moses. He was superior to Aaron. All intercessors. The aim of the book is to remind all the readers of the incomparable greatness of Jesus Christ. Our text speaks of the priestly office of Jesus. The offices of the Older Testament were prophet, king, and priest. While Jesus walked in all three of those anointings, while Jesus functioned in all three, I believe that the office of the great high priest tends to be forgotten or gets lost in the overwhelming importance of Lord and Savior. The role of Christ as priest is resident in the title Savior. For he saved us by offering his blood on the altar of heaven as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. While people recognize the act of atonement and that Christ is the propitiation of our sins, which is an act of intercession, we tend to lose the fact that he interceded for us as the great high priest. Hebrews lists the significance and the importance of understanding the role of Christ as the intercessor. He saved us once and for all, but the Holy Spirit is transforming us through sanctification. And one day we will be glorified and this mortal will put on immortality. But when we look at the work of Christ, he interceded for us every step of the way. He interceded in the incarnation. He became the vicarious man. He became the substitutionary man. The very act of incarnation was intercessor. He interceded in salvation as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He interceded in glorification when he was raised from the dead and became the first fruit of them that slept. However, after all of that work, the Bible states that he exists to intercede on behalf of the saints according to God's will. After he's done all of that, he now exists as an intercessor. We're not talking about the Son of God per se. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the role that he filled as the God-man. If his power to live right saved us when he was tempted by Satan, his power to raise from the dead and the gates of Hades could not hold him, and that he overcame, as it's mentioned in Revelations 3 and 21, he says, he that overcame, just like I overcame. If he overcame and sat at the right hand of the Father, then how powerful do you think his intercession is for us? The writer says, if God be for us, look to your neighbor and say, he is. Come on, say, God is for us, he's for us. Now tell somebody, God is for you, he's for you. Then, if he can endure the cross for the joy that was set before him, he can stand in the gap and repair the breaches, for he is the great intercessor. When there are holes in the walls of our life, he can stand in the gap. When we're vulnerable in seasons in our life, he can stand in the gap. There are times when you get discouraged. You should not simply think about what Jesus has done for you. You need to think about what Jesus is doing right now for you. And what is he doing right now for you? He's interceding right this moment on your behalf.
Stay tuned for more from the Kingdom Voice. We'll be right back after this. Russia is on the move. Europe is burning. Natural disasters are striking and global health scares are plaguing the world. Everyone wonders why and how, but where are the answers? As ancient prophecy unfolds before our very eyes, two questions remain. Is this the end? And if so, are we ready for it? Trained Kingdom scholar and eschatologist Dr. Dana Carson provides in his latest work, Dispensation 7, Is This the End? An undiluted examination of history and a critical look at the evolution of the church. This book is the answer for those seeking to accurately interpret the dangers that are currently being experienced around the world. This book will answer your most heartfelt questions and how to prepare for Christ's second coming. Purchase your copy now at drdanacarson.org. That's drdanacarson.org. Or call us today at 281-824-4190. That's 281-824-4190. Now, back to this life-changing message from the Kingdom Voice.
I believe in the intercession of Jesus. I saw what happened when he prayed before he was in his glorified body. He told Peter that you're going to deny me, but I prayed for you. You're going to say you didn't know me, but I prayed for you. You were going to run away from my name, but I prayed for you. And he says, and when you are converted, you will strengthen your brethren. I'm trying to tell you, the same Jesus that prayed for Peter is praying for you. The writer to the Hebrews, still accumulating his proof that the priesthood according to the order of Melchizedek, the priesthood of Jesus, is superior to the old Levitical priesthood. Thus, I leave you with these few remarks. He says in verse 20, and inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, Jesus is the surety of the covenant. Thus he says, Jesus is a priest with an oath of covenant. In essence, he's saying, Jesus said that I've taken an oath to get you through. I'm the Alpha. Don't you just hate when people are just the Alpha? Not an alpha, you know. Don't you just hate when people are alphas? They just begin, but they don't end. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. He that begun a good work in you will see it through. It may not look like you're going to make it, but look to your neighbor. Say, Jesus took an oath. So it may look a little rough in your life right now. And it may look like there ain't nothing you can do. You're trapped. You're struggling. You don't know how to get through. But I come to tell you this morning, Jesus took an oath. You don't have to be frustrated to the extent that you throw in the towel. You ain't never got to throw in the towel because Jesus took an oath. He 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 took an oath. What is an oath? It's a guarantee. He's a surety. Which means he says, whatever they don't have, I got. Whatever they don't pay, I'll pay it. Wherever they come up short, I got it. I'm going to get you through this. Somebody ought to be shouting right now. Because you're in a bad way. But I come to tell you, Jesus said, I'm going to get you through this. I'm going to get you through this. Now, let me hurry. So, listen. So, here's the second thing he says in the text. The text says he is of the order of Melchizedek. Now, we're introduced to Melchizedek in Genesis 14. Melchizedek is a combination of two Hebrew terms, Melech and Tzedek. Melech means king. Tzedek means righteousness. So he's the king of righteousness, which means righteousness is the property of God. So it says, the Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Now, here's what he's saying here. He's saying that Jesus represents another order, which means Jesus not only intercedes for your righteousness, he also imputes your righteousness. I mean, he can declare you righteous. Just like he did Abraham. He declared he believed God and it was attributed to him as righteousness. So you have a priest that not only has the ability to plead for your inadequacy, but you have a priest that can declare you adequate. What? I wish somebody would just say, I'm adequate. I wish somebody would say, in Jesus, I'm adequate. Yeah, yeah. In my flesh, I can't do it, but in Jesus, I'm adequate. Now listen to this, number three. Verse 23, number three. It says, he never stops interceding. So, verse 23 says this. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. That means there is never a time when Jesus is not interceding for me. He ain't got personal problems. He doesn't have personal predicaments and situations. He ain't going through nothing that stops him from interceding for me. Some of you don't realize the reason you've gone through all the hell you've gone through and have not lost your mind is because Jesus was interceding. Some of you, your marriage should have been blown 10 years ago. You don't know how you're making it today, but it's because Jesus, he interceded. Listen, number four, point number four. I gotta go. Number four. So, number four, here's the fourth thing. Not only does he continue to intercede, listen, not only does he consider to intercede, the text says he lives to make intercession and can save to the utmost. That means there ain't nothing that you can get yourself into that he cannot get you out of. And you ain't got to worry about it because he's not going to quit on the job. You don't have to worry about it because he lives to intercede.
Wow, that was a powerful word today. Truly a life-changing word.
Such an amazing word, babe. I couldn't have said it better. Our apostle, Dr. Dana Carson, preached an amazing word. And I know you're feeling a tug on your heart right now. And that feeling, that's the Holy Spirit. I'm Elder James E. Hedibo, and this is my wife, Brittany. And we're here to help you take that next step in receiving a relationship with Christ. That tugging, the Holy Spirit, desires to have a relationship with you. And so if you would, and you want to be saved, and you want to know what I need to do next, say this prayer after me. And let's accept Jesus into our lives. Dear Jesus, I believe that I'm a sinner in need of grace. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I just ask now, Lord, that you forgive me for my sins. Lord, all that I am, all that I'm not, I give to you. Please, Lord, fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. Lead me, Lord, be ruler and reigner of my life. I pray this now in Jesus' name, amen. If you just said that prayer, congratulations, you are now born again and welcome into the kingdom and into a relationship with Christ.
Amen, and the angels in heaven are rejoicing.
Yeah.
This next step is just as important. Make sure you join us at therockwi.com and get connected, because that next step of getting filled with the word continuously will keep you. Make sure you do that today.
Congratulations and welcome to The Rock.
Thank you for listening to The Kingdom Teaching of Dr. Dana Carson. If you would like to hear this message in its entirety, visit drdanacarson.org/TV. For more Kingdom teachings and transformational messages, subscribe to our YouTube page at Dr. Dana Carson.
Hello, I'm Dr. Dana Carson, affectionately known as the Kingdom Voice, and senior leader of the Rock World Outreach International. I would like to invite you to an extraordinary worship experience with God every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at 4101 Broadway Street in Houston, Texas. You will experience powerful praise and worship, a friendly atmosphere, ministry for the entire family, and a life-changing word that will draw you closer to God. Then on Sunday night at 6 p.m., join us for our Signs and Wonders Miracle Service at our Edgebrook campus located at 9321 Edgebrook. If you're in need of a miracle or breakthrough in your life, The Rock is the place to be Sundays at 6 p.m. Lastly, find me every Wednesday at 7 p.m. as we understand the Bible with Dr. Dana Carson. In this Bible study, you will discover a greater understanding of scriptures and how they apply to your life. If you're not in Houston or the Houston area, you still can connect with us online through YouTube, Facebook, or our website at therockwoi.com. Get ready to experience the power of the kingdom, and I look forward to worshiping with you.
The Kingdom Theological Seminary offers a quality yet affordable theological education for those seeking to increase their kingdom biblical knowledge.
A recent survey revealed a widespread confusion about the Bible's teachings and a drift away from biblical truths. In America's secular culture, studying the truth of God is no longer relevant, and some believe it should be relegated to the educational systems. In order for people to become eternally significant, one must know, learn, and understand the Bible and how it relates to them in a 21st century culture. The Kingdom Theological Seminary is designed with this in mind. At KTS, kingdom-minded leaders and laymen will become a part of a kingdom movement that is training and equipping people through the Word of God, void of the Romanization, Europeanization, colonization, Westernization, and Americanization of the gospel. KTS is a hybrid learning experience with online classes with a focus on kingdom and Pentecostal studies, as well as special weekend activities and classes to meet the needs of busy students from around the world. The master and doctoral programs at the Kingdom Theological Seminary are unique and diverse programs designed to prepare and equip you for various aspects of 21st century kingdom ministry. The hybrid approach to seminary gives us the opportunity to have various professors from around the world, such as Dr. Trevor Grizzle, Dr. Brad Young, Dr. Joseph Walker, and more, teaching and equipping you with a top-shelf understanding of Scripture. The Kingdom Theological Seminary is the seminary of the future and is preparing kingdom leaders for 21st century ministry. Find out more at ktseminary.com and prepare to expand your biblical understanding. Visit ktseminary.com.
In this gospel of the kingdom, good news spreads across the world.
The preceding broadcast has been brought to you by DCKM Partners, helping people to know God, make Him known to others, and spread the kingdom message around the world. Find out more at drdanacarson.org.
DCKM, Dana Carson, Kingdom Ministries.